The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Scott, don't call me Craig, Thompson, and the impending wedding. Oh my God. I listened to that the whole walk down, and
I
the only
don't
thing more
know,
cringe
I,
than getting his name wrong was asking how it gets paid.
I get Scott's and Craig's mixed up all the time.
Yeah, we missed you on that one, Jason. We missed you on that one.
Yeah, well,
I told Jeff that you're going to cover part of the cocktails, so that I think that should help Scott, Craig, and Jeff.
I must have missed that part. Yeah, I must have missed that part. But yeah,
that was off air.
The girls are being invited, so we'll be there at the wedding. We look forward to it. All right, so we're underway at Ray Nitschke Field right now. What is the NFL trying to sell this as? The dynamic kickoff? Is that what they're trying to call it to get people to think that it's awesome? That's what's occurring now as the Packers are, at least at my end, are kicking off to the Ravens and trying to cover it. I did see Justin Tucker. I did not get to talk with him, ask him who he thinks he would be worth trading for on the Packers roster. I would think that he has a given how good he is, he would say Jordan Love. We do have special teams action going on right now. Tausch, I am curious. You're an accomplished golfer. Maybe accomplished is a little strong.
But when I watch
Anders Carlson or just now Alex Hale had a kick, it feels to me like kickoffs now are kind of like making sure that you hit your approach shot with the right club and you don't go one club too high or one club too low and either go too far or too short. You want to be just right inside that, like the 5 yard line to the goal line. Is that a fair comp? And are you good at doing that? Because No. I'm watching Anders Carlson. His first one was at the one, but the next one was in the end zone. This seems like a very small margin for error if they're trying to get returns and trying not to give the ball to the opponent at the 30-yard line.
Yeah, I think it's still something that we're all trying to kind of figure out. But I think from a special team standpoint, you obviously don't want to just give the ball at the 30, but you're giving opportunities for a Keyshawn Nixon or other really good return guys to take it, you know, past that. And that's, I think, what they're trying to accomplish. But for most of us, now kickers are usually good golfers, and you should be able to have some type of control as far as where you're putting the football, or you're not going to be an NFL kicker. But it's not necessarily, you've been trained for so long to just boot it as far as you can. Get it out of the end zone. If you start back in the old days at the 20 and then the 25 and now at the 30, special teams coaches were pretty content with it. Now you need to really work on the hang time and you need to work on ball placement. And now the distance part of this is probably the most important. So when you factor all of that into the equation, it puts even more on the place kicker, which, by the way, I think with the rule change of 10 years ago or whatever it was on the extra points and making that longer, you ruined some guys. There's some guys that really struggled with the extra points and got booted or lost their job and had to go somewhere else because that adjustment period was tough. So the NFL has really been difficult on that part of it, and I still am just – I'm really wondering if this is for certain going to be locked in for this year. Seems like it is. It's going to be a big difference maker. Whoever gets this right and can figure it out quickest is going to steal a few games because of how they cover kicks and how they return these kicks that other teams aren't going to have in their arsenal. And I just hope Green Bay is going to be one of them.
Justin Tucker's first two kickoffs, he's dropped at the 1 yard line and the 2 yard line. The first one he kicked to Keyshawn Nixon, who, you know, they'll be traded for each other some before the end of the day. So that's what's going on at this end of the field. I'm sure we'll have plenty of 11-on-11 work that we'll get to probably after our show has come to an end. All right, we'll have more updates about practice coming up. Tausch, because it took so long to explore the impending nuptials that Jeff and Monroe is on the hook to pay for, we need to get to a break.
No,
so we
I
need
don't
to
think
talk.
He's paying. I don't want to get into all their finances, but I think Jesse summed it
well,
up.
Well, you did want to get into it.
Well, I did. I don't
just didn't succeed.
It's, now I know how wild he is when he's asking people Social Security numbers and everything else. I get that now.
Well, I don't know if it's Craig Johnson or Scott Johnson or John Johnson, but I know Johnson & Sons Paving is as good as it gets.
Indeed, it is. Summer's here, but before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering those 3 R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers, your tenants, your wedding party guests with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
Bo Melton, your second kickoff returner. I mean, they're going to need him when they trade Keyshawn Nixon to the Ravens. All right, we'll have more from the joint practice between the Packers and the Ravens coming up. It is the final open practice of training camp to the fans. We've got real officials here as well working the practice, so we'll see how the officiating and how many holding calls get called on the offensive line a little bit later in the program. But we'll have more from practice next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Ravens joint practice rolls on, as does Wilde and Tausch. Tausch, I regret to inform you that the side of the field on which I am standing, they are only going one field. So they're all on okay. Ray Nitschke. So Nitschke. At one end is Packers offense versus Ravens defense, vice versa, as you like to say, at the other end of the field. The bad news for you, given your requests, is that I am at the Packers offense versus Ravens defense end of the proceedings. Sorry. I'll go down to the other end once the show's over, but, you know, I have to have kind of my little perch here to stay out of people's way. So, and the number one offense with Sean Ryan at right guard. So I don't know if Jordan Morgan is not yet cleared with his shoulder to do 11-on-11 or if they're getting okay. Sean Ryan ready to be the starter there for Brazil. But either way, the number one offense, not a lot of productivity. Didn't find any open receivers, some checkdowns for Jordan Love. That's where we are through the first portion of this session.
Okay, well, just listening to Matt LaFleur's, I think he had a presser pre-scrimmage, correct?
Or correct.
Yesterday.
And he had one this morning.
I think Jordan Morgan is doing individual drills, and I think they were monitoring where he's playing. So you can read as much or as little into that as you want, but I find it really intriguing that they're just going to put Jordan Morgan. If he's missed time, and I know he's been back practicing, but I don't think that song is completely done. Whether
the rest
Sean
is still
Ryan's
unwritten,
the guy. He's,
Natasha.
There you go, Natasha. Yeah, there's a lot unwritten
so,
yet.
All
with
right.
That whole
so
thing.
Let me. All right. So help me understand this, though. This is a football show. This is a nonsense show. But this is an offensive line show more often than not. So help me understand. You've got, and here comes the number one offense again to go against the number one defense of the Ravens. We'll see how this goes. By the way, Ed Policy stopping by on his way through and saying hello, recognizing him on the radio. God, it feels good to have a team president elect who's happy
president elect. Wow.
That's really nice of
him. I'm sure you're going to say something that'll irritate him and he'll ignore you too at some point.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
I still don't think I said anything inappropriate. So be that as it may. All right, help me understand this. So Jordan
Morgan.
Your question's
qualifications in a public setting.
Was that wrong? But should I not have done that?
But you didn't say you can't understand why he's irritated.
Apparently they like green and gold.
I thought it was a fair question. He was changing the entire leadership structure of the organization.
It was a fair question. I just am dumbfounded that you don't understand why he would be irritated about it.
I guess I just thought we could move past it, but clearly not. But be that as it may. So Jordan Morgan, a lifelong left tackle, high school, college, expected when he walked in here, proclaimed that his goal was to be the guy who protects Jordan Love's blind side. By the way, Jordan Love just went deep into double coverage down the field to Romeo Doubs and was broken up by two Ravens defenders. If you're Jordan Morgan and you've never played guard until basically training camp here, and now you've missed 11-on-11 work for the past 2 weeks, and you haven't played in a preseason game in the NFL yet, and you're still not, for today's practice, cleared to do 11-on-11, then I guess my question is, unless he's being with the second team, and we'll see the second team offense here shortly, so maybe he'll be out there, but I don't think so. How on earth are you going to be ready for the games that count, which starts 2 weeks from tomorrow, at a position that you're unfamiliar? Help me understand that.
Well, you're going to have some growing pains, and you're going to have a learning curve, but the kid's obviously talented. He's got really good feet, and you drafted him in the first round. You like how he plays. So I've never met a young player or really any that hasn't had to kind of figure some things out. It's not going to always be the prettiest early, but if you believe that he is your best player and that his potential to grow into that position is that much higher, Brian Gutekunst has shown he is willing to have some growth, especially with the young football team. Mm-hmm. And while Sean Ryan is probably more seasoned, he's got more experience for certain at that spot, he has not earned their trust to give him that spot, and they think that the upside of Jordan Morgan's higher. So that's why you do it. And is it going to be as clean as it would be if you play Sean Ryan in that first game? I would argue probably not, and I would bet that you're going to probably see a little platoonage early in the season, seeing if Sean Ryan is ready to take that next step and show that his professionalism and all the extra gassers he's running, that he can do a full game, or if Jordan Morgan is showing that he can, you know, kind of elevate his game and be consistent enough to start every game throughout the year. I would bet that you're going to see platoonage when it comes to that first game down in Brazil.
So the second unit is coming onto the field, and I do not see Jordan Morgan at right guard. So it would appear that he is still working his way back from his injury. It's Luke Tanuda, whose name I love to say, who's playing right guard with the number twos. All right, so Tausch, I understand everything you're saying.
So we did not, it was not a great round there by your observations for the first team offense.
No, they had two running plays to Josh Jacobs. And you know how sometimes in thud, guys squirt out and they get a big run, and even though it wouldn't have been a big run in real life, he was stuffed in the backfield twice. So that did not occur in this instance either.
It's not great. But I just
to put a bow on Jordan Morgan before we move on. You talked, and I know he was a first-round pick, you were a seventh-round pick and all that stuff, but your readiness, because of all the work you got in your rookie camp, was a game-changer. And I just feel like maybe offensive linemen, there's a little bit bigger riskiness. And there is your first big play from the Packers offense. You can hear the crowd reaction. Michael Pratt on the run to Grant, don't call me Dubois.
So, Wildy's guy just keeps showing up.
However, that is not the number one group that accomplished that against the number one Ravens defense. My point is that you can put Jordan Morgan into the lineup when you deem him deserving. With the amount of time he's missed, I would have some apprehension if I was Adam Stenovich and Luke Butkus, no matter how talented he is, and the fact that he won't be 100%. I mean, you had shoulder injuries. Seems like a tough position to play when your shoulder's not strong. Is that not unreasonable?
It's just got to be – the confidence has to be there in both the coaches and him and in him and himself. And that's why I think it's going to be – work through it a little bit. Don't put all of it on his plate right away. See how he's playing and how he's – you know, how he prepares the week of. And if he's good to go and you believe in him, you play him and you understand – he might give up some stuff early in the season that he won't give up later, but that's part of that growth process. That you're looking for and you're hoping is going to be your long-term starter and a long-term player at either this position or at offensive tackle down the road. But it sounds and looks as if they like him at guard, and that's where they're going to play him.
All right, well, we will see the number one offense again against the number one defense coming up here momentarily. We will have updates on that we will interrupt Woe Nelly for. But Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Packers number one offense going at it with the number one Ravens defense. Tausch, not great, Bob. Your last 6 offensive plays. Love with a completion on a crossing route to Tucker Kraft. Love intercepted on a ball across the middle by Roquan Smith. Love on an in-breaker to Dobbs, who is open, and Dobbs drops it. Love with a check down to Josh Jacobs. A completion to Dobbs on a back shoulder throw that looked like maybe they stopped the play. And a small completion to Sims on kind of a screen pass to the tight end. Not what you're looking for so far, excuse me.
And it's still early. It's still early, not in camp, but it's still early in this. So you'd want to be crisp and clean and everything go smooth. But like my old offensive line coach Jim Huber used to always tell us when somebody'd make a play, those guys are on scholarship too. So you're not going to win every battle. There's always something that can come up. These guys are pros. They're going to make plays. You just need to make more plays than they do. And how you bounce back from that, you don't want to throw picks. I'm not worried about Jordan Love throwing a ton of picks, but threw one last week on a ball that flipped up in the air. Again, sounds like he threw one today. So hopefully in a two-minute drill and some of the other stuff, you start finding some rhythm, finding something positive, because it does not sound like the first-team offense is looking very crisp in the first portions of this joint practice.
Yeah, I saw the video of the one last week in Denver, and whether it was the defender hitting his arm or the defender pushing Zach Tom into his arm, there was some question. But that's, as they say in the soccer world, which I know you love, a bit unlucky. This was him trying to go over Roquan Smith, jumping up and picking the ball off.
God, so, thank goodness the Bears traded him, huh? What a bunch of...
Yeah, that turned out... That seemed to have been a pretty good idea, at least for the Ravens. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Woe Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Speaking of the Denver Broncos, Bo Nix, who put on a decent show against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, it was Sunday night, He has been named QB1 for the Denver Broncos, becoming the first rookie since John Elway to start the Broncos season opener.
Wow.
Are you a Bo Nix believer, and should I pick him up in this fantasy league that I've got going on where we're still drafting 5 days later and everyone's upset with me?
The fantasy league needs to go bunk.
Go bunk.
You guys know my policy, not Ed policy, but my policy on rookie quarterbacks. They should sit.
Thanksgiving.
Unless you're 27 years old. Bo Nix's been around forever, man. Quarterbacked at Auburn for years. Was out at Oregon for years. I think at some point, you know, you're old enough. I'm gonna let this one go. I still think it'd be in his best interest if Zach Wilson, or I think they have Stidham out there also. If either of those guys played till Thanksgiving, and then you let Bo Nix go. But Sean Payton loves Bo Nix. Do you think Bo Nix can be their guy? And in a league, this is, again, another one of those, I think, pressure from your team, pressure from your front office, that you want their young gun that everybody's excited about to play. That's a big part of why this is going on. And he is older, mature, and he's had a good camp by all accounts. He obviously played well against Green Bay. But if I'm going to stick to my principles on young quarterbacks, I say don't play until Thanksgiving.
You may have heard the crowd reaction. I feel like Packers fans are really trying to do their part to ratchet up the support and excitement and intensity on offense. Another really big play, not from the number one offense. Sean Clifford up top, deep to Malik Heath for a huge gain. That's what elicited that large cheer from the crowd. Yeah, a little disappointed, wasn't, quite frankly. All right, that is the end of that period. We should have a horn momentarily. A couple of quick corrections. Bo Nix is 24. He's not 27. He has been around for a while.
Going on 27.
But I guess my
question is, he's closer to 27 than he is 20.
It's fair.
Right?
That is true.
Now that you have that corrected age, though, don't you still feel like he should fall under your category of wait till Thanksgiving and let Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson start?
Yeah, even when I thought he was 27, I still said he should sit for at least, you know, till Thanksgiving. I still believe that. So I don't know when you start. You know, that's going to be our last horn, I think, for this is going to be our last one.
I think we might.
Unless there's another one.
This
period, always make me kind of sad?
Here is 150. We got 1 minute, 57 seconds in the current period,
we'll
so we might get another horn before
maybe
we get
it won't
break.
But today is going to be our last horn.
Not the way we managed it.
It'll be our last horn.
It will be the end of the
year.
Indeed, it will
yes,
be.
Yes, don't play rookie quarterbacks until middle of that season, Thanksgiving-ish. Don't care if you're 27, 30, 31. Chris Wanky, whomever it might be. I thought Bo Nix was a little bit older. But
wow.
Well, he was an old fart. He was like 28 when he started.
I didn't know that we were going to get him. Who was the other guy played at Oklahoma State? Brandon Whedon?
Yeah.
Whedon.
That's the other guy, right? Really old. Yes, indeed. Jesse, I know the music sounded like it ran out, but
that's still going.
We got time for one more.
Whoa, Nelly!
There's been a kicker trade.
Oh, boy. Packers?
The Washington Commanders acquiring Cade York, former draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, from the Cleveland Browns. After the Browns had cut him, he went to a couple other teams and then re-signed with the Browns for a seventh-round conditional pick. Should the Packers have considered getting in on the Cade York sweepstakes given the kicker situation?
Is he good? Do you know anything about him?
He was 24 of 32 his rookie year. He burst onto the scene because everyone was like, wow, why they draft a kicker? And then he kicked a game-winning field goal in his first game ever, and Cleveland was going nuts for him. Turns out he wasn't really that good. He missed a bunch of potential game winners last year, missed like two or three potential game winners. And so they cut him.
Sounds like just the perfect guy for the Packers to have acquired.
Yeah. Seventh-round conditional pick.
Anders Carlson's going to be your kicker when you go down to Brazil. And I think we get a little caught up because he struggled at the end of the season and he missed a kick in a playoff game. his season wasn't that. It wasn't like he was brutal last year.
He was still
like
over 80%, which I know is not.
He did not finish great. I understand why there's not the consistency that you're looking for, but he's a young player. And you allowed all these other players to grow. And again, I continue to go to zero-sum game because that's what kicking is.
Oh, you love that.
He has got a big leg. He's not going to be perfect. And I understand we can't. You can't give him a long rope as far as if he's struggling and you're costing your team games because you don't have that history with him. But he's not some bum kicker. Like, he is a good NFL kicker who missed some kicks at the end. He's not kicking in the 60%. He needs to be better, but he's a young player, and Green Bay allows their young players to grow. And again, I think last year everybody's growth was great for everybody but number 17. I think it was 17 last year. Is he still – did he move numbers or is he keeping
No,
17?
He's still he and Michael Pratt are both 17 right now.
Ooh, double numbers always makes me skeptical. He's going to be your kicker when you head down to Brazil. Unless he stinks.
I think Tausch is right.
If he stinks today and Saturday, is he still the kicker?
Depends what the other guy does. I do think it's
Justin
interesting,
Tucker?
Too, by
he's
the way.
He's going to make kicks.
Unless they trade for him. I do think it's interesting, by the way, that what is supposed to be just a feel-good spot on the roster, the international pathway program player, that the Packers moved on from Kenneth Odemegwu, who was like beloved in their locker room, this, you know, kid from Nigeria who had never played organized football before until OC Umeniora came to visit the town he lived in, and suddenly now he's in the NFL, that they would cut him and designate Alex Hale, the kicker, who is of Australian descent and is from Australia, but was kicking at Oklahoma State and has been here for 5 years. Interesting that they would change that and try and give them an opportunity to carry an extra kicker without having to lose a roster spot.
Yeah, I think that's very smart by the Gutenator, which nobody should be surprised about the Gutenator.
Oh, he's a genius.
Very smart guy. Mm-hmm. Trades are just popping everywhere. Jesse just mentioned one. Philadelphia got Dotson, the wideout from Washington.
Earl Dotson?
No, Jahan Dotson.
Santana.
And now the Panthers acquired Michael Jackson, not the Michael Jackson, for Michael Barrett. This is the time now that teams are looking at who's going to get cut and can we get sixth and seventh round conditional picks. Who on that list, Jason, do you think the Gutenator is looking at saying, he's not going to make our team? Maybe we can get a sixth or a seventh. Who are some of the guys that you think might be the case?
Here's the problem. It's a great question. Here's the problem.
Thank you.
They have so many young players. Like, this is when you trade guys that have been in the league for a while that haven't played up to your hopes, and the team that's acquiring them is saying, hey, we give these guys a fresh start. That'll be great, right? This guy can, you know, he needs a change of scenery. He can become the player. Like, the guy that I would think of, because there's not many of them, but kind of like Jahan Dotson, would be Eric Stokes, right? He's had an okay camp. He's had a number of picks. He's also obviously gotten beaten a few times. They like Carrington Valentine. I think they like Kalen King. They've got Corey Ballantyne still here. So if you were able to get something of value for him, you know, there, I guess he'd be a possibility, but I think he's going to be an opening day starter. I think the number of guys that fit the suit of a late camp trade is a pretty low number because they're still so young. There's not enough of those
guys. Jason, there's only 53 spots, man. Like, you're going to have to.
There's 69 spots. There's 70 spots.
I understand that, but if it's somebody that you know could make another team's roster and is going to be snapped up, you have to at least think that down that road, too. And
sure.
Maybe Goody doesn't, and you're right.
No,
Goody's,
I think
because his roster is so young.
I don't think there's any question he's thinking about it, Tausch. You're again, very right. I'm just, you know, I'm like, for instance, I'm looking at the wide receiver group. They have more than six guys that are legitimate, and that's not just me being a homer. They have more than six guys that legitimately should be on an NFL roster, okay? But, like, does Bo Melton, who had one 100-yard game, have enough cachet that a team would give you a sixth or a fifth-round pick for him when Jahan Dotson just went for a pick swap and a couple of extra seventh-round picks? Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Grant Dubois, as you call him, Dubose, right? Interesting player. Like, got some potential. But no one's trading for him. So there's just not enough of those types of guys.
But judging by what's going on at this camp, Baltimore might be trading for him.
Oh, we got some trash talking during the punt coverage. We're getting close to a fight. We got some Packers running onto the field. There's some major trash talking going on, but it appears that cooler heads prevailed and no pushing and shoving.
200 grand fines when you get these fights going. You better get your blank together. Let's go.
That is it for Whoa Nelly. If we time this up correctly, we'll get one final horn before the end of the show. Not in the commercial break. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Star walking. Don't ever see you sober if I'm breathing.
All right, Tausch, we got to get out. But the number one offense is going to be back on the field here. The offense is being called up right now. Gee, I wonder if they're getting a pep talk to improve their productivity. What do you want me to do in the remaining parts of practice, which goes to about 1 o'clock?
I don't know. Watch it. Maybe tweet some stuff out. Let us know what's going on.
No, I don't tweet.
I hope for the offense's sake and for Matt LaFleur's sake that we see some positive plays and some positive developments, because if it continues on the way you're describing it so far through an hour of practice, anyone that had concerns and were questioning where this group was at, feeding into it. So I hope things change quickly.
We're about to start a red zone period. Packers number one offense against the Ravens number one defense. We'll find out how it goes. That's it.
Well, let's just keep going, Jesse. Let's just keep going until 12:30. What are we doing?
I'll call Mr. Irrelevant. Is he on today?
Team meeting today.
Okay. All right. Well, they're breaking the huddle. We're ending the show. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.